Non-Jewish Podcast. I'm Spike. Today on the show, as is every Monday, or it'll be Tuesday next week after an Eagles game, Lee Russikoff. What's up, buddy?
Let's rock.
I'm so happy to talk to you today because I have one question for you. One important question.
I'm ready.
Are you ready to jump on the Eagles playoff bandwagon? Because I have one seat available for you. You can sit in the front. You can watch all the other teams go down in front of them as they go on this memorable run to the playoffs. Are you ready? Are you?
Here's what – I don't know if I'm ready, but here's what's pushing me towards that direction. I can give it to you.
Yeah.
This is what it is. It's at New England, at San Francisco, Eagles, at New Orleans, Green Bay, at Dallas, Redskins, at Jets, Dallas. That's the Giants' schedule the rest of the way.
It's tough.
Which is – ridiculously tough. So the team that there's no way they get through that. There's no way they get through that with four wins. So you know it looks like the team that the Eagles will be battling for the division is the team they played last night. And then how can you say that they're not as good as Dallas? The problem is Dallas has a pretty easy schedule even compared to the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that after last night, the Eagles were probably just playing possum the first five games of the year, just spotting everybody to lead. So you think Dallas is a more legitimate threat to win the division than the Giants are?
Yeah, I mean, again, going through that schedule, that's brutal. And watching what the Giants were, I actually thought I had money. Well, I had, for entertainment purposes, I had Miami to win outright. So I kind of got I was pretty upset yesterday. But I do think that they will be a fraud. Coughlin's teams usually fold at the end of the year, and I just don't see them holding up defensively, offensively, anything right now.
Now
the Cowboys is
in that video in that video game that you were playing where you had a bunch of money on the what was the money line on the Dolphins? How did you have money on the Dolphins?
I was like plus eight, I think, plus 800.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. It might not have been that high, but it's frustrating.
Wow.
But anyway.
Yes.
What can you say about last night? I mean, you got to give the Eagles credit. And this Andy Reid off a bye thing, I'm ready to say, is not a fluke.
Really?
Yeah, 13-0 is kind of impressive.
Yeah, and not just 13-0, but I mean the teams generally look good. I mean the Eagles have a lot of unimpressive wins generally during the season, but they're usually, I mean, in my remembering, they're usually pretty good. It was Dallas week this week, and I think people were talking a lot about it not feeling normally like Dallas week. It doesn't feel like the Eagles have any rivals anymore. Like, this one almost seemed forced, and it's fun when they're playing them, but none of the games leading up to them feel like they used to feel. None of the rivalries that we had. The Redskins, the Giants, nothing to me feels like a game that, unless there is more on the line than just playing that team, it doesn't feel like the Eagles' rivalries are as strong as they used to be.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I was out and about last night, and there was energy, but it wasn't around the game, really. I think everyone's so hesitant with this team because they've been kind of like they were all on board and they got their hearts ripped out of them, and now, you know, maybe I think you'll get some more energy behind this team now after that 34-7 win, but sorry, siren.
It's okay. You might hear a dog barking over here, so it's all right. We're good.
But I wonder if, you know, is it the lack of rivalry? Is it just the lack of energy around all these NFC East teams? Because none of them look like juggernauts anymore. I mean, this used to be the division to be in football, the division that the, you know, NFC winner was going to come out of, and now it's clearly not. I mean, at least that's not to say that no one from the NFC East can win it. They're just not the favorites anymore.
Yeah, I think it's either, you know, in the past, the Cowboys, Eagles, or any of these other games, were at least it meant a lot to one of the teams. Even if the Eagles were terrible, then the Cowboys game was everything. Or if, you know, and the Cowboys were great, or if the Eagles are great and the Cowboys, at least it means a lot to somebody. The last few years, I guess, none of these games have, except for that the season-ending game against the Cowboys when the Eagles got in, you know, when they were 9-7, when they made that run, it felt like something, but just because the game felt like something. And then I was thinking that maybe it's just because we see so many of the teams all the time now. We just see so much of all the teams. There's less of a build-up to anything anymore. But I guess then it would exist. I guess that exists in all sports. But because we see so much of the Cowboys between highlights and red zone and, you know, all the things that, that go on, maybe there's just less anticipation because we see them so much. I said early in the game yesterday that the Eagles defense had to play well because Ronnie Brown was returning kicks. And the better they play, the fewer times that Ronnie Brown will actually touch the ball. It's probably too early to say that we were too early, but the defense has looked really good for two straight games.
It has. And, I mean, they finally made the adjustments that everybody kind of was asking them to. They won't admit that, but, you know, it's not that the wide nine's not gone, but it's certainly not as wide. And they've, you know, let their corners do what their corners do, is lock up people, lock up who they want to take out of the game, and then, you know, that gives so much more freedom, makes the game so much easier for the linebackers to play, because you basically, you're going 4-on-5 on the line. You don't really need the blitz to get pressure, and you allow your corners to take people out, and your linebackers that now are out manning people, and it becomes a lot easier game when you're out manning. To me, this was the way they had to play. It was the way they were built to play, and they were kind of forcing, you know, the wide nine and playing zone behind it, which was an asinine idea. But, you know, hopefully that's in the past.
Well, and maybe they're doing, you know, there's this, when you're working with other people and you have other coaches, and I'm not absolving anybody of responsibility on this, but you bring Washburn in, and his thing is this thing, is this wide nine thing. And to a certain extent, I don't know if you have to satiate coaches to, you know, to keep everybody happy. I mean, in the end, you want to win games, but if you're bringing him in here, the reason that you're bringing him, if you're not letting him do what he wants to do, at least at first, you know, sometimes you have to let the bad thing happen to show everybody that it's not the right thing. And I'm not saying that's what they did, but if you bring the guy in, you kind of have to let him do what he does at first, and then adjust from there. And they didn't have the normal preseason that they have to kind of look at all those things. I don't think it's certainly not surprising that it took a while for a defense full of new pieces to play well together. It seems like the Juan Castillo thing, that maybe he'll be okay. You know, maybe this is not the disaster and the miserable hire that everybody thought it was. And maybe he wasn't the best guy to have in this particular situation with with the lockout and all those things going on. But he might be okay. This might not be the disaster we thought.
I probably went overboard on my ripping of Castillo. I think of course he can be a good defensive coordinator, you know, given time to figure it out. It didn't seem like a smart fit with a team that was supposedly all in, a team that, you know, Andy Reid's job to some extent is on the line. I mean, probably not anymore, but at one point it looked like it was going to be an embarrassing season that would have put Andy's job on the line. It just seemed to be a forced fit because of who they could get. They wanted to bring in these line coaches on both sides, and it just kind of worked out that, oh, let's just give Juan a shot. But, you know, which you can do if you're just starting out, or you have a team that's building and you can build coaches with that. But when you have a team that's supposed to be a contender, I don't know. I don't know if that was the best decision, but maybe you're right. Maybe it'll turn out. Maybe he'll be a quick learner, and You know, he'll learn to call plays on the fly very quickly.
Well, maybe guys like you know, Babin came here because Washburn's coming here and, you know,
right.
wants to play that way too. And I guess you have to, you know, give everybody what they want. You give it a shot to work, I guess.
And
they
me,
might have gone a little too long with
sorry.
It, but they might have gone too
yeah.
long trying it. But, I think you do have to give it a shot to an extent.
I do think one of the biggest changes they made, which is obviously they brought the wide nine in, but to me, the biggest change and the thing they benefited most from is unleashing their corners and letting Asamoah play one-on-one, letting Asante play one-on-one and locking down corners. I mean, they have the three corners. They're playing a lot more man than they were earlier, and that's all the difference. That's who their personnel is. You know, I almost look at the secondary as the big jump in or the big change in how they're playing, the big jump in class as far as their defense is. You know, you have all those players in the secondary. Let them do what they do and then, you know, free up the linebackers to do other things.
Yeah, I don't think in the first half that Austin or Bryant had a catch. I think Witten might not have either.
They held all three of them under 30 yards the whole game.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when talking about the different coaches, now Howard Mudd and the offensive line, man, the offensive line looks like there's a chance that could be an offensive line that's good for like 5 years. You know, they're not old, and man, they look great last night. And honestly, they've been getting better as the season's gone on. And Danny Watkins looks like he can play as well.
Yeah, he made some good blocks. They look good. Michael Vick, if he plays like that, then the Eagles can beat anyone. Michael Vick was on fire last night. He didn't miss a throw. Every throw was right where it had to be, in stride. I mean, and he, you know, when he's playing like that, he's got such a cannon, that, and he becomes such a weapon in so many ways. He's almost unstoppable. When he can throw with that accuracy and use his legs, it's a defensive nightmare.
Well, last night was the first time that we saw that Vick that we saw the last season, when he was on that run last season, when he
right.
could make every throw and run when he needed to. He looked more patient. And
yep.
I mean, you know, it's hard to judge everything. Last night is hard to take. It's hard to take a ton of stock in everything because every aspect of the game looked so good. I mean, if they're that good, then they're not going to lose again. You know, if they're
right.
that team from last night, surely they're not completely that team from last night. But man, I'll tell you what, if Vic would just stop, man, if he's going to slide head first, then I'd rather he not slide at all. I mean, I swear every time he runs, I'm going to have a heart attack. And a couple of times he slid head first. You can't.
Yeah, he dies and then gets hit in the back. It's
yeah.
like, ah.
Yeah, man, that's our future. I mean, what if it's not Michael Vick, then who? And then Shady McCoy. And first of all, he's the best right now at this moment. The way he's playing right now, I've never seen any other running back play for the I never saw Westbrook be as good as LeSean McCoy is right this second, ever.
No, it's amazing what he's become this year. And he showed signs last year, but they ran the ball. I don't know how many touches he got, but I just wanted to keep giving him the ball. To me, and they did run the ball. For them, they ran the ball a lot last night. Of course, it's because they're winning. But I wanted them to be, yeah, I wanted even more.
Yeah, well, and
because every time he touches the ball, it's just he looks like he's on another level from the rest of the team.
Yeah, you know that the first two guys aren't going to tackle him. Like you're just
right.
aware of that. It seems like his short, and obviously, you know, the stats tell you otherwise, but it seems like every time he touches the ball, it's at least 7 or 8 yards. Like even one of those rushes where you're expecting it to be 2 or 3, it's 7 or 8. He's scary right now. And I'll tell you, when they run the ball that much, offensive linemen like run blocking far more than they like pass blocking. It gives them an opportunity to run block more and move forward a little bit more and not just be on their heels the whole game too. Is it possible at all? And I know this means that Monday night they're going to throw the ball 60 times and run it 8 times. But is it possible at all that a slight change in philosophy has happened. We've talked about Andy Reid being a little more open to change and less, you know, less stubborn the last two seasons. Is it possible at all that he's changed a little?
I don't think so. I mean, they had Marty on Sportsnet after, and he was talking about, you know, one thing they're worried about is keeping Shady healthy. So, you know, and I don't know how much they're going to trust Ronnie Brown. Even, I mean, that's what Ronnie Brown was brought in here for, to take a lot of these runs if they were going to run the ball more. And they don't seem to, and for obvious reasons, really believe in Ronnie Brown. I would doubt it. I think, you know, the Eagles always seem to go on these runs where they'll run the ball for three straight games and you'll think, oh, wow, something's changed. And then you'll have this, you know, 8-run game nightmare where and lose a game, you know, 16-7, where they just don't give the ball to Shady. It just that it's something that Andy's just never going to believe in, and to an extent, to, you know, Marty too.
Yeah, well, and I think, like you said, the Eagles are up last night, and they were up in the Washington game, and that what that does is, and that's an object, obviously, to score more points than your opponent, but it skews everything because
right.
It allows you to run more. It on defense, it allows you to just kind of sit back and know that they're going to throw the ball. It makes everybody's job a little bit easier. And when you saw, now I'm going to forget his name, DeMarco Murray. I mean, he goes from 250 yards against the Rams, and he didn't do that last night. But when you looked at his yards per rush, at one point it was, I think it was like 8 rushes for 73 yards. Like if they were in more of a position to run the ball, we might have been in more trouble. It's just that when everything's working like that, the Eagles are a kind of team that if they get in front of you, that's when they're at their most dangerous, because then they're going to run the ball, and then they have a better chance of getting at your quarterback too. It's just, it feels like it piles on when the Eagles are ahead of the other team.
Yeah, I mean, this team was built as that, right? That's why they built this defense. It's like, we want to get ahead of you and then lock you down so that you can't run or throw on us. That's how this defense was imagined, with the three corners. And it worked to perfection last night.
I saw Ruben Frank tweet either late last night or early this morning that the Eagles offense is on pace right now to have more yards than any offense in the history of the NFL. Now, part of that is the way the NFL is right now, but still, the fact that it's them and not another team this year that's on pace for that is pretty amazing. When it comes down to it, if they, and one big thing that we haven't talked about yet that happened in the Cowboys game and happened in the Redskins game, is the Eagles don't turn the ball over. If they're able to rack up those kinds of yards and limit turnovers like that, I don't even care if they struggle in the red zone a little bit. If they don't turn the ball over, they've got a real shot to win the division if and continue to win games. They don't turn the ball over the way that offense plays.
Yeah, I mean, that's the NFL these days, especially with the parity that is everywhere. Turnovers have always been important, but at this point, really, you know, you just saw the Rams beat the Saints. Anybody can beat anyone, and you know, it puts such a premium on taking care of the ball. And if you look at some of the first 5-6 games, there were so many, not just bad mental errors, there were those, but there were also some bad breaks the Eagles got. There were a lot of balls that popped up in the air that didn't go their way. There were some fluky fumbles. You know, you sitting here, you could easily see the Eagles at 5-2, 6-1, rather than 3-4, with two games, you know, going their way. You know, the San Francisco game, they had won. The Bills game, they could have won. Just about every game going down, except for maybe the Giants game, they had won and blew it.
Yeah,
you want to believe in this team, and you see all the talent, and you think it should be, you know, as far as which teams have a shot, this team should be one of them. They've just put themselves in a pretty big hole.
Really, when you look at the NFL, it looks like it's the Packers and everybody else. Because at one point the Patriots looked like they were on that level. But when your defense is historically bad, and it is right now historically bad, it really looks like there's no team besides the Packers. I don't see anybody above that good level. You know, I don't see any other team that I'd be surprised if they lost. The Packers every week, I'm surprised if they lose, but everybody else doesn't have the entire package. And it seems like most of the teams just don't. The thing that's missing is defense. The thing that's usually missing is defense or a quarterback. And the Eagles have the ability to have both. I just don't want to get too high on it. And I'm almost surprised by your tone, because I thought you were gonna like whoa boy there me and it keep me back. But you sound like you might be sold.
It's not that I'm sold. It's that it's not that I'm not sold either. It's that I'm sold on the averageness of the entire NFL. And you know, this has always been my problem with Eagles and Eagles fans, though, is that they take that averageness and they say, oh, well, we're one of these teams that's good enough. They, you know, this year they didn't do that. You know, this year they went out and put all these pieces together. It's taken a while for them to come together. I'm still not sold that they definitely are together and working, but you know, if not the Eagles, who? That's what I'm saying. And I look at the Giants' schedule. There's no way the Giants win 9 games in my head. So even sitting at 5-2, there's no way they win 9. They're not good enough. So you know, 9 games could win this division. And if you're in the Eagles, make the playoffs, and they get a wild card game, and then they get somebody like San Francisco in round 2. Why can't the Eagles go to the NFC Championship game?
Wow.
They're still gonna have to get through Green Bay. And you know, Green Bay, while they're offensively a juggernaut, defensively they have their own problems. They 391 yards a game they're giving up. That's like 28th, 29th in the NFL. They're not the complete team either. You know, that's the thing, that everybody's got these holes. So you know, you just got to be. It's almost turning into baseball, where it used to be like the best team in football almost always won. Now it's just you got to get hot at the right time. It's turning into that kind of like baseball, and who knows if it'll be the Eagles who get hot.
Who are you, and what have you done with Lee Russikoff?
I don't know. I think it's the Phillies that kind of like threw me back for a loop. Like, you had this team that was a juggernaut all year, and then you just hit the playoffs and it's just like randomness. I don't know what it is.
Well, in a league where everybody's terrible, if you have a lot of good players, that gives you an advantage,
right?
You know, and they do. They have a lot of good players, so they should win games. There's really no excuse for them not to win games. Honestly, you look at their roster before this season, there's no excuse for them not to win 11 games, really. I mean, not now at this point. I don't know that that's possible now at this point, but you know, before the season, I would have been hard-pressed to even imagine anything less than 10. And would say that they should win 11. Do you think that, you know, I don't like sports this way. I don't like this. I don't like parity. I don't like not having, you know, exceptional teams. I think it was, and maybe I'm romanticizing it because I was younger when it was like that, but I think I liked it better the other way.
When there were dynasties.
Yeah.
I agree. It's frustrating to watch this NFL to me, just because everybody's so beatable. There's so many holes. I don't know. I'd much rather see a complete team. And I, you know, even Green Bay, who we're talking about, and people are talking about being 16-0 at defense. Who knows though? Who's going to beat them? That's the thing. It's just a bunch of pretty bad football teams. You look at, somebody made this point, the Niners, who right now would be the 2 seed. Imagine them playing the 1989 Niners. You know what the score would be.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy.
89 Niners would have beat them by 60 points.
Yeah. It's and every time I hear, you know, and I think it's baloney because there's no way they could, you know, pull this off anyway just because the way the sport is, but anytime I hear anybody talk in the labor things about NBA and wanting parity, all I can think is like, why? Why do you Right. That's not what it was built on. That's most of these leagues were not built on parity. They were built on, you know, powerful, really good teams winning for a while. And the object is to build a team that can beat that team, not just to build a team that can get yourself into the playoffs. I think it's a lot, you know, less exciting this way. To me, it's less exciting this way. And especially because when you win, who knows what your team's going to be like the next year, or who knows if they're going to compete the next year? And I don't think that's as fun. And again, it might just be the old guy in me saying that, but I think it's more fun when the teams are really good. So Monday night, the Bears, who are not particularly good and do have a quarterback that is hassleable, into who's been sacked a billion times this year and who will throw interceptions when you give him an opportunity. I mean, they got to beat, even though they usually, it seems like, have trouble with the Bears, they got to beat the Bears on Monday night, right? Here?
They better, because this is their season. You look at their schedule and they have New England, they have Dallas, they have the Jets, they have, you know, certainly one or two losses after this game in their schedule. And not that that's obviously going to happen, but they need, this is still a must win for this Bears game at home on a Monday night. You finally got on a roll at home. I mean, they'd lost five home games in a row and they finally won one. They got to win
the Bears, and they got to win Arizona. Like, no doubt, these have to be. If it's going to happen, the roll's got to happen now. You know, this six in a row or whatever has to start now. Well, I got to tell you, man, I was surprised to hear your tone. A couple of weeks ago, we were dead in the water, but Crane Kicker's got to buy me an Outback Steakhouse dinner if the Eagles go at least 9-7. So I'm looking forward.
Oh yeah,
to yeah, yeah.
It's not a lock yet.
No, not yet. But I can already smell the blooming onion. That's all I'm saying. I can already smell it. All right, man. Thanks, Lee.
All right, man.